All right, so how many know what series we're in?
The Power Series.
That's right, the Power Series. Everybody say the Power Series.
The Power Series.
Okay, but here's the question. Who can tell me what the, yes, you can name them. Good, go. Wait. Power of expectation. Good. The power of Thanksgiving, good. The power of not looking at your circumstance. Good, go. Yes, good. Yes. And the power of what? That's right. Okay. And whoa. From the heart, the mouth speaks. You just, okay, I appreciate that. And what other one? Did we? The power of what? Can you say the power of singing? Okay. That's good. Amen. Okay. That's a Starbucks card. There's either $10 on it or $100. I forget which one it is. Okay. How many know I'm joking? Okay. All right. So good job. I want to talk to you today about, guys in the back, are you ready? I want to talk to you today about quitting. Because in all of our lives, there are circumstances in our lives that we think, see, here's the issue. We live in a very, what I call a microwave society. So we're, you know, let me tell you how microwave our society is. And understand this. For most of you in this room, you never knew a day where there wasn't a microwave. I won't ask you how many you remember. You know, do y'all remember when you used to have a phone and you have to put your finger in the phone and go like this? Okay. Well, man, you must be old because I don't even remember that. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. No, I remember that. I remember those days, okay? But there are people in this room, many people in this room, and they don't remember a day. They're like, you used to do what? You know what I mean? You know, there's people in this room, you say, hey, you know what? Do you remember when there was, you know, if you say, hey, you know, you say something about, I remember when I used to have a pager. They're like, a pager? What's a pager? You know, Google it, okay? But the truth is, most of us in this room have never lived all part of our life. We've always had a microwave. And let me tell you how crazy it is. There was a day, and many of you remember this, when your microwave didn't have a popcorn button. Didn't have a popcorn button. Somebody looking at me. Huh? Do they make microwaves without a popcorn button? That would be stupid. You know what I mean? Well, there was a day when there used to not be a popcorn button, and you used to have to go through the tediousness of pressing, you know what, 200. But somebody said, man, that is way too much effort. That takes way too much time. Let's just come up with a button that says popcorn, and instead of going 200, we'll just be able to press popcorn. And somebody said, wow, that's going to save us a lot of time. And I'm saying that in kind of a mockery, but you know the truth is, that really happened. Somebody said, that is a good idea. And they started, and you can't go over to Home Depot, you know what, or wherever. You can't go over to Home Depot and buy one without a popcorn button on it. I want to talk to you today about not quitting. And I want to talk to you today specifically about the power of tenacity. Everybody say the power of tenacity. We are way, because we live in a microwave society, we have just gotten way too. If we don't see it in 3 days, you know what I mean? You go through the fast food. You know what I mean? Have you ever gone through the fast food and they took like 5 minutes? And no, let's be honest. They took 5 minutes. And by the time you get up there, you're like, shh. Is this not true? It's totally true. We're like irritated because, you know what? It took them. You know, what's going on? And the problem with that is we have developed such an acceptance to quit, such an acceptance to bail out, such softness that we don't understand the power of tenacity. But I want to show you an example in the Bible today of a lady that is in a situation where somebody in her family is totally messed up. And Christ himself is trying to pull out of her some tenacity, some toughness. And this lady is in the Bible and a great example for us. Because let me tell you what, if we're going to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish, if you're going to live the life that I believe that God has called you to live, you and I have got to, you know what, understand the power of tenacity. God needs your leadership. God has put gifts and abilities inside you. And in the course of life, how many know when life can just beat you up? You know what? And you thought, well, you know what? At this point in time, I should be up here and I'm not there. And maybe I didn't hear from God and maybe I was wrong. And I'm just going to, and you start to settle for plan B. God says, no, use the power of tenacity. Make a decision in your mind that you're not going to quit. That you're not going to quit on your marriage. That you're not going to quit on your kids. That you're not going to quit on your grandkids. That you're not going to quit on the dream that God has given you. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew. To Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I want to go over just a story with you, an incredible story about this lady who didn't quit. About this lady who didn't quit. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll start with verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. If you have a New King James Version, I'm reading on the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but you can follow with us word for word up here on the screen. Look what it says. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And Jesus came from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, here's what you need to know. What's Jesus doing? Jesus is going from a place that was almost all Jewish to a place that there's not very many Jews in this place. They're almost all non-Jewish. And there were big time racial divide back then. I mean big time between Jews and non-Jews. And Jesus is going to an area where there's hardly any Jews. It's almost completely non-Jewish. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. I was reading this. I started to laugh because notice her daughter is severely demon-possessed versus just demon-possessed. How many know if you got a demon in you, you're jacked up? Amen. Come on, somebody. But listen, her verbiage is important because how many know if you have a son or a daughter that's messed up, you're passionate about that. She's like, Jesus, she is severely demon-possessed. Severely demon-possessed. And he answered, verse 23, or verse 32, But she answered, but he answered her not a word. She's saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed, and Jesus just doesn't even say anything to her. You ever said hi to somebody and they don't say anything to you? I remember when I worked in the grocery store, you know what? There'd be these youth that come in, and they're just too cool to say hi. You know what I mean? Hello? This is too cool to say hi. So they'd come I'm checking groceries. They come through my line, and I say, hello, did you find everything okay? And they're just like, dude, I'm too cool to say anything to you. You're just so dorky. I don't even have to address you. My first point is this. Don't quit. Don't quit. Even when God seems silent. Even when God seems silent, don't quit. You know, it's interesting because as we look at this, how many know the end of the story? How many know Jesus is going to heal, you know what, deliver her daughter? Why? Because let me tell you about God. God has got a tender heart. Jesus came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. That's who God is. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same for every person, no matter how old you are, how young you are, you know what your ethnic background, you know what your economic background is. Let me tell you what, God so loved the world. You say, then, but how come he ain't saying anything to her? How come he's shining her on? Well, I submit to you this. If we understand the character of God, Jesus is trying to do something here. I remember I was at the mall one time, and parents, don't do this. But there was this father, and he was trying to get his little two-year-old to go from one place to another place. And he had some soda pop. Kid, just barely two. And so he puts his soda pop in front of the kid. And the kid just walks, takes two steps, and he's right about to get the soda pop, and then the father pulled it back. Shh. And it was so funny to watch. I watched it like for 5 minutes. It was a crack up. And then the kid started to cry. But then the father was tenacious. He kept on going, no, it's okay, right here. And that little child would take two more steps thinking he's going to get it. And then right when he was going to get it, that father would go, like that. Can I tell you what? Let me submit this to you. How many know that God, the Bible says, that God tested Abraham? Amen. See, we understand that a loving God wants you to be tough. Understand that a loving God understands that you have adversaries in your life, and you've got to make your mind up that, you know what, I'm going to be tough. So what's he trying to do here? He's trying to pull, he's not trying to shine this woman on. He's trying to pull her towards him. So we live in circumstances where sometimes you think, you know what, God's not saying anything. And you and I have to be tenacious. You and I have to, you know what, after we've been working out for 3 days, you know what, and we get in front of the mirror, you know what, and we're ready to see the six-pack abs, you know what I mean? And you don't see no abs, you know what I mean? You see a you see a bunch of jelly donuts. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, okay? You know what we need to do? We need to be tenacious to get up the next day, you know what, and eat the right food, and you know what, and do some exercise. Yeah. Didn't hear too many amens on that one. Okay. But here's what I'm saying, and the same thing goes in truth. with all kinds of other things. See, was God against Abraham when he told Abraham, you know what, you need to sacrifice your son? No, read the end of the story. Isaac doesn't get sacrificed. But watch this. In the testing of Abraham, you know what? God understands. Abraham for himself understands. What is God trying to do? Let me tell you what God is into. God is into developing your character. Amen. Some of you got married. You're like, oh, yes, I do. I love you with all my heart. You're my schmuckums. Amen. Come on, some of you remember that. Okay. But now 5, 6, 8, 15, 20, 30, whatever. Now you're like, smookums. I can't even believe I said that. Can I tell you what? God wants you to love your husband, love your wife. Who's our example? Jesus Christ, our example. God wants you to love the unlovable. But instead of being on God's plan, we're on the Janet Jackson plan. You know what? What have you done? Come on. Do I need to sing it for you? Don't even ask me to dance it, okay? You like that on Peter. Instead of being on God's plan, we're on Janet Jackson's plan. You know what have you done for me lately? You know what? Or annoyed with our kids, or annoyed with our grandkids, or watch this, or irritated with our boss, or unsaved boss. You want to cop an attitude with your unsaved boss. Hey, love you guys. He's unsaved. Aren't we supposed to pray for our enemies? God, man, he is my enemy. You always get on my case. You know what? Hey, toughen up, man. Be tough. Walk in love. Recognize, you know what? God has called you. It's inside of you. Don't quit. And the situations aren't always, you know what, way less than perfect. You've heard this. There's a number that a church, when it gets a certain number, it starts to have issues and conflict. You know how many that is? Two. Here's all I'm saying, guys. Understand what God is doing. God is trying to pull this lady out. And when you sense like it's not going the way you think it should go and you want to give up, God says to you today, understand the power of tenacity. Understand your willingness not to give up in around circumstances that are less than perfect. What does the Bible say? Look at James. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Guys, James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Pastor, my trouble, man, I'm not going to take it anymore. You know what? And then we take various trials and then we comp it after. I'm not going to take it anymore. I don't want to take this. I don't have to take this. And listen. You can do whatever you want to do. But the Bible tells you to count it all joy. To get a smile on your face. How many know this? I tweeted this a week ago. And here's what I said. No one determines your attitude except you. People say, no, let me tell you why I'm so upset. I'm so upset because you always... No, you're faked out. You got fooled. Satan's throwing a smoke. Because watch, why does Satan do that? Here's why. Because then, you know what? You're going to be upset. He, watch this. He can get you upset. He can have your life. Every day can be misery for you. How many ever woke up and you lived throughout your whole day and everything, I mean, everything was perfect? That's what I thought. How many know that day doesn't exist? Do you see Satan's? Do you see Satan's attack? See, if he can get you to think that if everything was good, then your attitude would be good. Then guess what? You'll always have a bad attitude. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because you've given yourself excuse to have a bad attitude. And the Bible says to us, people who think that way, knock it off. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to count it all joy. Stop putting it in that, man, my life is bad because of this. No, your life is good because of Jesus. Oh, man. Here, I'll say that again because that needs a way bigger amen, okay? Ready? Oh, I'll give you a chance. We'll do a rewind. Okay. Your life is good. Your life isn't bad because of circumstances. Your life is good because of Jesus. Yeah. See, you determine. You determine your attitude. This lady, you know what? God's not even, well, you know what? When God seems silent, understand that, you know what? Understand that the Bible says that God makes the crooked path straight. He goes before you, the Bible says. Don't listen, don't judge God in the negative. Understand that God is a good God. He has good plans for you. And maybe you don't see it all. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, you know what? My sister used to sneak around and find the Christmas gifts. But I didn't sneak around and find the Christmas gifts. Okay? I was a good boy. You missed another good time to shout amen. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Even though I didn't see that bike, how many know my parents had that bike? Come on. Is the light going on? How many know just because I couldn't see that bike didn't mean my parents didn't have that bike? They had that bike. They had gotten it, and they said, well, we don't know. Maybe we'll have to see. That bike was bought that whole time. You know, you are looking at the circumstances and judging God's character because you don't think he's done anything. And let me tell you what. Trust in God. God's a good God. Don't quit. Number two, or let me go over another scripture. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Look at this. Persecutions, afflictions. Persecutions, afflictions. Which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. This is Paul talking. What persecutions I, what did he do with the persecutions? He endured. He didn't quit. He endured. And out of them, what? All what? Who delivered him? Lord. See, here's what we think. Oh, you know what? I don't want to go through any trials. Understand that when you go through trials, what's happening? Your character is being developed. Amen. How many know when you're riding a bike and you're going and you're on a hill and you're going downhill? How many know? No, none of your muscles are being developed. How many know where the muscles get developed? Going uphill. I swim, and when I swim, you know what? I you know what? You know how you swim, and I pull, and when I pull through, I just think, man, I'm getting ripped. Amen. And then I get done and I look and I go, ooh, I got some work to do. Amen. But what I'm saying is that it's so important to understand God is on your side. And just because you don't see it all doesn't mean that God's not going before you and making something right. But what you have to understand is out of them all, who delivered Paul? The Lord did. Look at this scripture in Psalms, Psalms 34. Look at this. This is awesome scripture. Psalms 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, no, no, no. I want my life to be easy. No, you want your life to be a life where your character is developed and muscles don't get developed as you're going downhill, but when you're going uphill. Count it all joy when you go through various trials. Amen. See, don't quit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, see, that's where you need to focus. You need to focus on the what? You got to focus on the but. Amen. But, yeah, I know I'm going through some stuff, but let me tell you what's going on also. But the Lord delivers him out of some of them, out of all of them. Look at this other scripture in Psalm 37. Look at this. I've been young and I've been old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the descendants begging for bread. Are you righteous? Then let me tell you what. God is going before you, and he's making the crooked path straight. Amen. God is on your side. And then you guys don't have this in the back, but get this as soon as you can. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors. How in the world can you be a conqueror without a battle? No, you're more than a conqueror because you've gone through a battle. Yet, you know what? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. How are we more than conquerors? Through who? Through him. See, understand, God's promise never to leave you or forsake you. So you're going through something, you're going through a trial, you're going through a tribulation, you're going through something, you're going through the reality of life. But you're focused on Christ. And you know that he is on your side. And so you're saying, hey, I'm going to be, you know what? I'm going to get through this battle. I'm going to become victorious because let me tell you who I am. I'm more than a conqueror because God is on my side through him. Number two, don't quit. Don't quit. Even when others try to discourage you. Even when others try to discourage you. Look at verse 23 and 25. Of that chapter in Matthew 15, verses 23 and 25. Look at this. But he answered, not a word. Then his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. She cries out after us. See, understand this, that if you, in life, you're going to have people come against you. She wants her daughter to be healed. You know what? She wants her daughter to be delivered. And the apostles are like, hey, get her out of here. Get her out of here. You ever had somebody come against you? You ever had somebody, you're so excited, you're going to do this, and you're excited, hey, you know what, I'm going to do this. And then somebody, even in your family, says, oh, that's stupid. You can't do that. That's ridiculous. You know, whatever they come up with. You ever had somebody do that? Can I tell you what? People are going to come against you. And when they come against you, here's what you have to recognize. So what? It doesn't make any difference. Don't empower them to steal your dream. Have your dream so real that it doesn't affect you. When we were in the North Sanctuary, and we only had one service. And I would come out week after week, month after month, year after year, out of my office. And praise and worship started at 10 o'clock. We had one service at 10, and I'd come out at 10 o'clock. And I'd come out, and many times I'd come out, and there'd be less than 20 people in the congregation. And 20 people, and we only had one service. Say, Pastor, what did you do? I wouldn't look at the 20 people. Say, Pastor, what are you looking at? I'm looking at the hundreds that are coming. Amen? Amen. And I'm glad we got a slew of people here. But guess what? I'm not looking at the hundreds that are going to be here today. You're not looking at the hundreds? No, because you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at the thousands that are coming. See, that is the dream. And others will come and listen, and they can't see it. And so they feel, how many know people feel they feel like they have to tell you what they think. How many people are opinionated? You know what I mean? Let me tell you what, you know what I mean? And here's what you have to do. You have to have a willingness to listen to it, but not hear it. You have to have a willingness. You have to develop the power of tenacity and say, that's how in the world would have we got here? Can I tell you what? Hope Community Church is not a stepping stone to a bigger place. Hope Community Church is that bigger place. Amen. We're not trying to, get a promotion to a bigger church. Hope Community is the bigger church. Amen. But in order to do that, you have to have a willingness. This lady had to have a willingness to not see and not pay attention to the apostles who are saying, just send her on her way. Just tell her to be quiet. Just get rid of her, God. And people will tell you the same thing. You can't. It won't happen. You know what? You're just a dreamer. Well, let me tell you what. God put that dream in you. So you keep on dreaming. And you keep on believing. And you keep on anticipating. And you keep on building. I wasn't just, you know what? Tamara and I were proactive in doing something to see our dream, you know what, come to fruition. We're still doing that. And it's going to happen. And I believe it's going to happen in your life. But in order to happen, you know what? You've got to be tenacious. You've got to have a willingness to say, you know what? To walk away and in your mind think, they don't know nothing. They don't know. And you don't have to be rude about it, but you have to just recognize they don't know. It's not their dream. It's your dream. Amen. Are you learning something today? And then finally, don't quit. Even when you feel unworthy. Even when you feel unworthy. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. But he answered and said, it is not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I love this. Listen, when you cry out to help to God, he sees it as worship. Amen. Next verse. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Listen to me. Are you going home after that comment? Are you going home after that comment? Are you giving it up on your dream? Understand the character of God. God is just pulling tenacity out of her. And look at her response. I love this. This is so powerful. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You know what she's saying? I know the character of God. And I know that there's enough, you know what, for the Jews, but there's enough for everybody. How many know, you know what? How many know a little crumb of God will bless you for the rest of your life? Amen. You see her tenacity? Listen, her tenacity, I know the character of God. I know he's a good God. I know he's a loving God. I know he's a caring God. I know he's a giving God. And I ain't leaving. That's the character we have to have. That's the tenacity we have to have. Does God want your marriage to be awesome? He does. So just love your spouse. Yeah, but dabba dooba. Be quiet. Amen. No, no, no. Just shh. Just love them. Yeah, but my kids are. Does God love your kids? Just love them. Don't quit. Be tenacious. You know, it's so interesting. Let me tell you about David. So interesting, because David is anointed to be the king. How many know this? We talked about this last week. David is anointed to be the king. And 13 years later, can I tell you what happens 13 years later? 13 years later, his biggest challenge. He's found a ragtag group of men that are starting to follow him. It's his army, and they have a town, and their enemy comes in this town and pillages the town, takes everything, including the women and the children. David comes back with his men, and everything's gone. Now, everything, including the women and the children, everything's gone, and these guys are ticked at David. But here's what David does, and here's what many of us don't do, and it's problematic in our quality of life. Here's what David did. David stirred himself up and encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. You know what he said? He said, God is for me. God will go before me and make the crooked path straight. You know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You say, that wasn't written yet. Yeah, I know it wasn't written yet, but David knew it. David knew the character of God. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen, real important, after he encouraged himself in the Lord, guess who else got encouraged? Those people around him. They got encouraged. They took off, went to the guys who took the women and children, got them all, got everything back. Got everything back. 13 years after he was anointed king, you know, anointed to be king, he's got his biggest challenges and everybody's against him. He encourages himself. Well, here's the beautiful thing of that story. 3 days later, the king is killed and David takes the kingship. Here's what I'm saying. Some of you are ready to give up. Some of you are ready to give up. And here's what you don't know. You're 3 days away from victory if you'll just be tenacious. And I don't know if it's 3 days. It could be 4 days. It could be 30 days. It could be 1 day. I don't know. Here's what I know, that God is for you. God was for this lady when she first came up. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's the question. Will we be tenacious and hold on to the goodness of God? We say, no. I know God. Yeah, but the circumstances are like this. It don't make any difference. Yeah, but people are saying that. It doesn't make any difference. Here's what the Bible says. And here's what we do wrong sometimes. Here's what sometimes we say, oh, you know what? The Bible says, let the weak say, what? I'm strong. That's what David did. His biggest defeat ever, 13 years after he was anointed to be king, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Can I tell you what? We need to just not quit. We need to understand the power of tenacity. And maybe your marriage isn't what you want it to be. Can I tell you what? Don't quit. Maybe your kids aren't serving God. Don't stop praying. Maybe you're not in the job that you think that you should be at this point in time. Don't be discouraged. Maybe this church isn't it isn't what we see in our spirit. That's all right. You're here today. There's a bunch of people here for the first time today. Amen. And there's a bunch of more people come next week. Can you say amen? And there's a bunch of more people. And you know what? And the dreams that you have in your life, God is going to fulfill. But, we'll edit that part out, okay? But don't quit. Don't give up. God's on your side. My precious. My smuggums. Oh. Here you go.
I must have missed something, huh? Alrighty. I love, it's interesting, I'm sitting there listening to Pastor preach, and I look back on coming here, and nobody was encouraging us to come. Our family, our friends, our colleagues, they all thought we were silly. Just, what are you doing? You know, you're making a mistake. The only reason we were able to come, why are they saying that? They're saying that because they saw what we saw. So what was the difference between us doing something that looked just crazy on the outside? How come they're just counseling us, don't do it, that's not good, that can't be God, you know, that's not a good idea, you know, you're not doing a good move for your career, this is not good. But we did it anyway. Why? Only one reason. We trust God. And for each one of us, it's funny because we came, we the only component that was necessary to come was to trust God. We knew who he was. We knew his character. And we knew that if he was asking us to do this, we could trust him. We weren't going to lose anything. Do you understand that? And then I'll tell you that, and then, you know what, then when we came, it was not a nice facility at all. And we didn't have finances either. That was one of the huge, it's like, why would you come to a place that needs so much work and effort to fix it up, but you don't even have no money to fix it up? I mean, even if you had a plan to do the work, I mean, how are you going to do it without the finances? And it's interesting, again, as I listen, you know what, as we, you know what, we started, God began to instruct us what to do. And so we knew that if God had called us, that he had a plan. Back to, we trusted him. And so it didn't matter what it looked like on the outside, and it didn't matter what our circumstances were, that we didn't have finances. All that mattered was, can we trust God? Yes, we can. He's trustworthy. And it's interesting to look back on how everything went. Did God show up? He did. And sometimes I was, you know, I remember in moments when there would be something that we were, like the carpet, we were trying to get carpet for the church. It's a big church. It's a lot of carpet, you guys. Not even including this room. Just from this room over, it was like 740 square yards of carpet. Just the kids' room in the North Sanctuary. And we didn't have any finances for that. And it's interesting because I always thought I knew what God was going to do. I had, he's probably going to do it like this. I was always wrong. He never did it the way that I thought. I just needed to just trust God. And it was an awesome walk because at moments, all of a sudden, I could begin to see, oh, that's how it's going to happen. But it was just, and it became very easy. You know what? Coming here, when everyone was saying don't, when everyone was saying that's crazy, when even looking at it, it didn't even look appealing. It's interesting because that time in my life was the greatest time of my relationship with God. The greatest time. It was, here's the word I used to describe it, and I'm not embellishing at all. It was exhilarating. It was the best and the worst of times. It was the worst of times because, you know what I mean? There was so much to be done and no finances, but it was the best of times because in those circumstances, all we had was God and our faith in Him and our trust in Him. And I'm telling you, sometimes I think that's our problem. We got other avenues, and we get so reliant on other resources and on, you know what, on what we see and what we think and what others tell us, and we don't just hang tight with God. But when we hang tight with God, man, we just benefit greatly. And not just us. What about you? This church could have closed down years ago. Yes. And it could have not been in this community.
That's right. That's absolutely true.
It took someone who just said, oh, no, I'm going to trust God. God's got a plan. And that's the one thing I knew coming in. I didn't know what the plan was, but I knew He had a plan. And surely we have seen that unfold over the years. Amen? Amen. And so whatever your circumstances are, really the only issue we usually ever have is just trusting God. And just nail, if we nail that down, we'll have all kinds of things that we get through and come out on the other side. Amen? Amen. Amen.